This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. On Saturday, January 21st, hundreds of cities around the country and the world marched against the presidency of Donald Trump. The women's marches were a powerful opening salvo to the billionaire businessman's tenure, sending a strong message of resistance. Among the cities participating in the marches was Los Angeles, where this program is based.
I am at the Women's March in Los Angeles in downtown LA, where many people have gathered in front of City Hall. It took my crew and I almost 2 hours to get here from Pasadena, with trains being jam-packed full of people, a lot of women, but lots of men and children too, holding signs, a lot of folks wearing pink cat-eared hats. We actually ended up talking to a lot of folks on the train platform as well as in the train itself as we were making our way slowly to downtown LA. Here are some of those voices. What brings you out on this bitterly cold Saturday morning?
We just want to be with other people who might not be feeling too happy or good about the country right now. So we thought this would be a safe and empowering thing to do with our kids, so we're not so scared about the future.
Paulina, and I'm 9. I came up with this thought that no matter where we're from, it's called the United States of America. So that means it's basically a huge melting pot of different people from all over the world. So you can't, you can't judge a book by its cover. And that's, I think, part of why we're here, why I'm here.
Nice.
Virginia Garner. Well, I made myself heard during the Vietnam War, and here I am again, 40 years later.
How does that make you feel?
In a lot of ways, sad. I thought we had made progress, but I'm here to assure that we do continue making progress, and that I'm here in solidarity, in support of human rights. And that's what's important to me, and that's why I actually gave up a lot to be here today. And I hope I make it on the train. And I decided that I'm going to be here to see to it that when this starts to happen, which it already has, the powers that be are going to know there are those of us who resist that and who aren't going to let it happen.
Adam Coleman, and I'm here to unite all of the women together and all of the country together, since the causes that we are here for represent all of humanity. And so that's why I'm here. And plus, my friends were all here and they told me about this last night, and I just really want to, you know, share my feelings with everyone else around us.
Now, we're on a train. How long have you been trying to get to downtown LA?
So we started maybe at least an hour and a half ago, to try to get on the train closer to LA, but we actually had to backtrack just because the trains were so packed. So
I'm Joyce Lee, and I'm here because, I think we're in for a scary next 4 years, and it's just refreshing to be here with people and know that I'm not alone in how I feel, and we just have to remember to stick together, and when things are feeling low and, you know, you're kind of feeling desperate, it's just important to remember that there are all these people here who are going to support each other and hold each other up.
So thousands upon thousands of people are trying to get on these trains to get to downtown LA. Do you feel that the presence of this many people can send a message to, even a symbolic message to Washington, D.C. and to Mr. Trump?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he won the Electoral College, but the popular vote speaks loudly. You know, we do not stand with him. We don't have the same beliefs as him, you know? So I think having all these people take time, ride these trains, take 2 hours to get to the protest, it speaks volumes to what we believe in. We don't stand with him.
What do you want to happen in the White House? Because you know, we had Barack Obama, but we still have a broken economy. And that's what Trump capitalized on. The fact that we have a broken economy was one of the few reasons why he managed to get the Electoral College win. And of course, trading on hate. But if we just put a Obama-like person back in the White House, we're still going to have a lot of people suffering and willing to vote for someone like Trump, right? Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of fear-mongering, and I think people just have to take the time to educate themselves. I mean, there are people who don't know that Obamacare and ACA are the same thing. So I think if people just take the time to educate themselves and not read fake news and believe it right away, you know, it'll take us a long way. It'll make a big difference. I mean, even if we have someone like Obama in the White House, there's a lot of work to do, but we have to start somewhere, and this is not where we need to be, you know?
So the current document of the White House has set us back quite a bit.
I think so. And it's scary. It's scary. But, you know, it's inspirational to be here with all these people and to know that I'm not alone in the way I feel and that we can support each other and we can help each other. So this is why I'm here. You know, I just want to remember this moment and know that I'm not alone.
You are human. You should be outraged at what he's trying to do to us. You don't have to be a woman to be outraged by everything that's going on. And if you look around, it's more than just women. It's called the Women's March, but it's more than just women. There are so many of us that are fed up, and we feel like we have fought this fought before, and we didn't think we have to do it again. But we will keep fighting until our voices hurt. We will keep fighting until we don't have to fight anymore. My son and my daughter, they should not have to live in this world. They should not have to live in a country where somebody who is so uninformed and so unprepared for the office that he has been elected to. And I use my finger quotes on purpose, because he was not elected by the people. And this is not something we will put up with. We will do this every weekend if we have to. We will do this as much as we need to. And your question earlier, does he care that we're marching?
No,
I think he does, because there are more of us marching than were at his damn inauguration yesterday. There are more of us making our voice heard today than were at his party yesterday. So I think he does care, because there will be more ratings and more coverage for this event than his event yesterday.
My name is Vonnie, and I'm from Hong Kong. I've been here 20-some years, and the reason why we joined this march is because we show that we really care about the nation. It's not only about us. It's not about me, not only just about my family, but the entire nation. We have to embrace the concept of embracing diversity, and we embrace hardworking. We're not saying that status quo is what we embrace. Not saying that, oh, only if you're born here, we embrace you. And if you are not born here, if you're an immigrant, or if you cross the border without a legal process, we kick you out. No, I think we embrace hardworking people, that we embrace the very fundamental reason that America is built from immigrants.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm here because I want to feel united with my fellow sisters and brothers and just everyone who's here to march. We're not even marching yet. We're still stuck in the train, and I already feel so united with everyone. We're here for the same thing. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I'm an online student right now. And everything that's going on right now in America has actually made me want to study psychology. So,
how do you think we can change our country? I mean, part of the problem was that the economy just didn't get fixed under Barack Obama. Even if we had a wonderfully intelligent president, he still, you know, backed the bankers. He bailed out the bankers, and that's part of why Trump was able to get elected. How do we fix all of that?
Well, he's already giving big tax breaks to companies, and we need those companies to pay their taxes. And I don't see how that's going to help our economy. And I'm not too knowledgeable on how to with the economy and how to fix it, but I do know that's not going to help.
You don't think a billionaire cares about the little guy?
No, no, not even his team. No, they're all billionaires and millionaires.
And you just heard some of the voices of people as they were heading to the Women's March in Los Angeles. Los Angeles looking like it's going to turn out to be one of the biggest national marches in the country, one of over 600 sister marches to the Women's March in Washington, D.C. And we are now heading towards a stage where we will be talking with and bringing for you voices of people who have gathered, just ordinary men, women, and children who are outraged by the recent inauguration of Donald Trump.
Sylvia, and I'm here because I'm marching for my daughters and my granddaughters.
My name is Alisa, and I'm here because I want to make sure that our rights are protected and not taken back.
Tell me what your sign says.
Well, my sign is honor and protect, and it's for diversity, freedom, and human rights.
And yours? You have two signs.
I have two signs. The first one says, why I'm marching for the women before us who march for our rights. Every woman here with me today, and all the little girls, so the future is bright for them. The other sign says all the rights, what we need to protect.
This gathering today, does this represent the opposition to Donald Trump?
I believe it does.
Yes.
I believe it does. And the opposition, not just for Donald Trump, but for what were rights that we possibly could lose under his administration.
Trump is speaking for the white supremacists. He's not speaking for all Americans. I am for all Americans, regardless of sex, color, religion, whatever they believe. We are all Americans. We, the people, make America great.
The world united will never be defeated. The world united will never be defeated.
My name is Soman Pendekor. I'm the Dean for Diversity at Harvey Mudd College, one of the Claremont colleges, and I'm here because I need my body and my voice in the streets, because I don't want to be silenced by this administration or any other administration, and this is too important to sit it out. And today's only one day of many days we'll be fighting, probably right, for the rest of our lives.
What happens the day after the march?
The day after the march, this energy has to continue so that we're able to hold the administration and each other accountable for a truly intersectional vision of what justice looks like in this country, and that includes justice from the bottom on up.
So you use the word intersectional. Let's explain that, because that's something that many newly formed activists today might, you know, be learning for the first time.
Sure. So intersectionality comes out of the traditions of black feminism, which was initially a critique of white feminism in that it focused on woman as a single condition rather than looking at what it means to be a black woman, a Latinx woman, a indigenous woman, an Asian American woman. And so the intersections of our identities create fundamentally new realities, new oppressions, but also new opportunities for solidarity and for liberation.
And so does it feel to you today that the crowd that has gathered is going to keep showing up and do more than showing up, not just showing up, but actually creating change? Because that path from where we are now to what we want, that's the trillion-dollar question.
Absolutely. It's an incredible question, because we saw the fundamental failures of whiteness and white feminism in this election. And so I think the question you're asking is a question every single one of us needs to be asking, especially any of us who have any kind of privilege in our own lives, whether it's around heterosexual privilege, able-bodied privilege, white privilege, anything, to say, what does it mean to show up beyond a march, beyond a protest, beyond a rally? And in particular for our white allies, to not just show up on a day where it's called the Women's March, but to show up every time it's Indigenous Rising or Lives for Asian Americans or Black Lives Matter fundamentally.
Do you think still, though, the symbolism of such a gathering is crucial?
Yes, fundamentally, yes. That's why I'm here. I'm a critic of some forms of feminism, but I'm still a feminist. And more than that, my family is a feminist family, and so we're all out here together, my spouse, my child, because this is a movement for our entire families, our children, for everybody we know, and for those who couldn't be here today because either they feel voiceless or powerless or because they physically couldn't be here. So yes, symbolically, symbols still matter. Symbols still matter.
Are you scared as a mother for the next 4 years?
I have a little brown boy. I'm very scared. I'm scared and I'm angry and I'm terrified. And I think that's even more reason to be out here.
My name is Richard. I'm a co-founder at changeclothesbrand.com.
And did you make your own hat?
I did make my own hat.
For our radio audience, tell us what it says.
It says, make America woke again.
So it's a red hat with white writing invoking Trump's slogan.
Yeah.
Why is it important to be here today? How do you think that will start the ball rolling on undoing what has happened in Washington, D.C.?
Well, we're not only creating a voice, but we're also taking action. Every single one of these people here are, you know, got out of bed and drove in this traffic and say they want to be part of the movement to fight against the rhetoric that Trump has done to divide the nation. So this is actually bringing unity. So that's a great thing everybody's doing.
Are you scared for the next 4 years?
I'm a hopeless optimistic, so I'm not scared. This actually gives me more optimism that we can come together and create a voice and prevent the complacency that's been happening. So I'm glad everybody's out here to be active.
What do you mean complacency?
I say complacency in the sense that people wanted to do something, but now that it almost feels too late because this guy is our president, they feel like they need to do something. So as opposed to want, they know that they now have to do something and they can't be complacent anymore.
Christina Jensen, and this is my daughter Sadie.
How old are you, Sadie?
10.
Why are you guys here today?
We're part of the California Resistance. It's a long laundry list, and to begin is with mainly everybody that is so misrepresented and treated poorly. From mainly brown and black lives, over-incarceration, health care, women's health, of course, Planned Parenthood, NRDC, and I think we're just under attack overall, and that's why I'm here, and I want her generation to learn how to stand up.
My name is Katie Geyer. I work at a nonprofit called Write Girl. It's a creative writing nonprofit for teen girls here in LA. And I'm marching today for a lot of different reasons. But the reason I hold this sign is because
I out for our radio.
Sure. It's Save Obamacare. It saved me. And it's because I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2015 and at the beginning of the year. And immediately, the cost of being diagnosed with cancer was about $6,000.
You didn't have insurance at the time?
I had private insurance, but it was the deductible and the out-of-pocket maximum was extremely high. And so I was able to right away get affordable health insurance. And it really helped knowing that I wasn't going to be dropped by my insurance company and that the insurance that I had was going to take care of everything. And I got a subsidy because I couldn't work while I was going through breast cancer treatment. So it was really affordable for me. And when you're diagnosed with breast cancer, I mean, you have so many things going through your head. On day one, I just was worried about my life and if I was going to live through this. And then on day two, that's when I started to panic about how I was going to be able to afford this because I couldn't work at the time. And I was going through so many, you know, treatments immediately. I had a double mastectomy right away, and I went through 4 months of chemo. I had radiation, and it's been about 2 years since I was diagnosed, and I'm still going through, suffering through a lot of the effects of the treatment, and I'm still on a lot of medications. And
are you still on an Obamacare plan?
Yes, I am. You know, when people, you know, just think about, you know, the politics of it, it seems like so surface level. People don't think about, like, what it's actually like to get the devastating news from your doctor that you could die from this. And I'm getting all emotional, but I mean, they just have no idea how something like cancer can affect your life in so many different ways. And to have to worry about money, I mean, and that this country wouldn't take care of me. And I'm a hardworking person. I've always worked full time. I have a master's degree. Like, I'm doing everything right. And to think that at some point I might not be able to hold on to my health insurance, it's just absolutely absurd.
Meanwhile, so you're a cancer survivor. You're here on this Women's March in Los Angeles. How do we fix this mess we're in?
I wish I knew, but I do know that raising our voices is something. It's something that we can do.
My name is Rima, and I'm here with my daughter Anika. And the reason I'm here is because as a woman and a woman of color, I have I feel that we all have a lot at stake with this incoming administration. There's a lot under threat in terms of the Affordable Health Care Act and the fact that we don't know what our future is going to bring us. I'm a classroom teacher, and I remember the day after the presidential election, I had to spend 2 days with my students, many of them who are undocumented or have families who are undocumented, and they had fears there, where they said to me, "Miss, I don't know if I'm going to be here in February." And not only is the Trump administration threatening all our the social safety net that we were trying to build under the Obama administration, but it is also threatening the livelihood of people who are here in this country trying to contribute and live out the American dream as it was supposed to be. And the idea that there are bodies that are considered illegal is something that is very threatening to myself, my students, and I think a lot of the people here. And so I'm bringing my daughter because she's young and she's been listening to the radio and I play it in the car, and she's even said to me things like, you know, Mom, I think Donald Trump is not a very nice guy and he needs to learn a life lesson. And so I said, okay, well, let's go march, because that is how you join with people to say what you feel and to speak your truth.
This is what democracy looks like.
Show me what democracy looks like.
That's a special report from the Women's March in Los Angeles, one of the many cities where demonstrations took place against the presidency of Donald Trump. On tomorrow's show, we'll bring you a detailed report of what unfolded on the streets of Washington, D.C. as well, with our correspondent, Chenjerai Kumanyika. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/RUWithSonali.